Blog Talk Radio.
Today's show, you're listening live to the Frank Williams Show, and I am your host, Frank Williams. Hey, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the show, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Those of you who are listening via my show page on Blog Talk Radio, thank you guys for tuning in, and those who are listening via cell phone or landline, thank you guys for tuning in as well. 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. That's 516-531-9483. So if you guys like to call into the show, and you can call in and just listen, or if you're online at Blog Talk Radio listening to the show, you can call the number and be on the show. Say whatever you want. Once you call the number, just press the number 1 on your keypad, and that will let me know that you would like to be on the show. Again, 516-531-9483. Now, today's show is brought to you by Frank Williams Realty. For all of your real estate needs, call me, Frank Williams. You can reach me at my office number is 404-564-9689, or you can reach me on my cell, 678-549-0274. You can also visit my website and contact me, frankwilliams.kwrealty.com. That's frankwilliams.kwrealty.com. You can also reach me by email, frankwilliams@kw.com. That's frankwilliams@kw.com. 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. Call me. Let's talk. I see there are more people joining the show, and thank you guys for tuning in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's see, before I get started, just wanted to say a couple of things. The coach for the Boston Celtics, Ime Udoka, something like that. He's got a weird name. He's of course he's not from the States. Okay, not from the States. This guy's married to Nia Long. And so y'all probably know who Nia Long is. A famous actress. She played in a lot of movies, done a lot of things. And this guy's married to her. And they just found out that he had a inappropriate or sexual relationship with one of the staffers with the Celtics, one of the young ladies who was on the staff of the Celtics. Now get this, and you know, of course, I'm not condoning this at all. The young lady said it was consensual, which means that she wanted it, he wanted it. It was okay with both of them. Okay? So that makes me think that someone let the cat out of the bag, right? Somehow someone found out about it and then let the world know about it, or let someone know about it. And now the NBA has, or not the NBA, but the Boston Celtics front office, the Boston Celtics organization, gave him a one-year suspension. So he's going to miss the 22-23 season for the Boston Celtics. He's their head coach, okay? But he's going to miss the season because of his actions, okay? Now, again, I'm not condoning this or anything, but, again, it was consensual. You know, I'm not saying he committed any kind of crime or nothing like that. He didn't take it. He didn't lock her up for a couple of days. He didn't drug her. He didn't do any of those things, right? But now he's suspended for a year from basketball. I don't know what's going to happen to his marriage, but, you know, I guess that's something we'll find out later on down the road. But anyway, the reason that I say that is to, you know, say that this stuff happens in all phases of life, in all parts of life. It happens as a young married couple, happens as a middle-aged married couple, happens as a older married couple. It doesn't shy away from anyone, okay? You got guys out there that are running around trying to do things with other women, knowing they're married. You got women out there that are doing things with other men, knowing that they're married. And it's not one gender or the other. And so he's got problems over the Knicks, or whatever you want to call it. But that's him. That's the breaking news that I had out there today. Now, another thing, the owner from the Phoenix Suns, and he also owns the WNBA team, the Phoenix Mercury. And this guy, you know, has been just off the wall, off the charts with racist comments, racist words that he doesn't think are bad. He doesn't think there's any problem with it. He doesn't want to lose his teams, but he's going to. They're making him sell his teams. They're making him sell his teams and get out of the business. Okay? But he said he doesn't want to. But they're going to put him out. Okay? They're going to put him out. And already a couple of people are interested in the teams. Jeff Bezos interested in the team with some other guys, like three of them that are going in together and going to buy these teams. Think $1.2 billion or something like that for both franchises. Anyway, that's what happens when you throw out these racial slurs or you say racist things, and you're in a position of where you have people working for you who aren't the same race as you are. And I'm not saying that people that are the same race as you are that would overlook it if you said it to them about someone else. But what I'm saying is that, you know, you shouldn't say it around anyone. You shouldn't do that, especially a person of power as he is. People are watching and listening, hanging on your every word. And they want to bring you down, right? And they brought him down, okay? They brought him down. There's also an interview out there from Trump that Mr. Sean Hannity did. It's hard to watch because America put in the driver's seat of the country as the president of the United States this kind of person. He's not smart. He's not articulate. I don't know what he looks like, but it's a joke. But he's playing to the people out there that look like him and problems within the country. But we'll see what happens there, right? Right. All right. So let's go ahead and get into the show. Today's show is entitled Being the Baby of the Family Has Its Perks. Being the Baby of the Family Has Its Perks. And I want to discuss the perks of being the baby of the family, because guess what? I am the baby of my family. My mom had four kids, two girls, two boys. She had two girls first, then she had two boys after that. And I am the baby of the family. I am the baby brother. So, but as far as perks go, at that time back when I was growing up, I didn't think they were perks. I didn't think it was anything special about being the baby of the family. You know, and what did I look at now and didn't see back then is that I didn't think I was getting any kind of preferential treatment. I didn't think I was getting things that my brothers and sisters didn't get. But I guess there were, right? I guess there were things that I got that they didn't get, or special privileges that I got that they didn't get. I remember, you know, going to my grandmother's house, and we did that a lot. And I'd go to my grandmother's house, and my uncle, my mom's brother, lived with my grandmother and my granddad. He lived with them, okay? And my grandma used to cook. My grandma was a great cook. She cooked, and she had a special recipe, and they were candy yams, okay, or called candy yams. And she was the very, very best at candy yams. I mean, I do them now myself, and they're good. I think more, you know, some batches are better than others, but she didn't mess up on them, right? She didn't have a good batch or bad batch. All her batches were good. And I was so in love with candy yams that my grandma would fix them, I thought, just for me. To my grandmom's house, and we go over there to eat dinner, and she and my uncle would say, "Y'all better not get into them yams. Those are Tony's yams." I'm Tony, okay. My middle name's Antonio, and most of my family call me Tony, okay. So y'all better not get into them candy yams. Mama made those for Tony, okay, and she didn't play about that. You know, she had the pot of candy yams on the stove, and if she caught you in those candy yams before I got a chance to get mine, you're going to have a problem, okay? That was one of the perks of me being the baby of the family, and that was an awesome perk, okay? Because, of course, when I got there, that's my only worry, was that no one had been into the candy yams and eaten them. That was my worry. All the way from my house to my grandmother's house, that was my worry of getting there and someone would have eaten my candy yams. But, oh, my goodness. Boy, when I got there, it was no stopping me. Now, she always made me eat my dinner first, okay? And I could eat my dinner first, but I could also have, you know, some yams in there with it. I could have a few yams on my plate with whatever we were eating, okay? And I'd kind of save those yams to the end of my eating, you know, my sitting, my eating. And I just bite one of them, and my eyes closed, and I guess they rolled back in my head, and I was like, in heaven. They were so good. They were so, so, so good. And I've been trying a couple of different recipes over the years, and I just can't get it to where she had it. Okay, I just can't get it to where she had it. Good now, good, and we'll eat all of them. We'll eat all of them. But they just didn't taste like grandma's. Right? And then, you know, my mom knew how much I loved them. She tried to make some, but they didn't taste like grandma's. My big mama. And I'm going to do a show about my big mama one day. She was just unbelievable. And if you're available, you should listen to that show. And I see there's a family member up on the show, and y'all know the way Big Mama was. And I tell you, my eyes are watering right now because she was one of the loves of my life growing up. My grandma never had a job that I knew of. My granddad never had a job that I knew of. He was retired when I was able to know what was going on. He was retired. Never known him to go to work, but he retired from the railroad. And with both of them not working, having time, right? We'd go fishing. We'd take trips. We'd leave and go to Florida for 3 or 4 days and go fishing. We should go to Pensacola and fish for 3 days on a bridge. And you know, my siblings, my two sisters and my brother older than me, my oldest sister is 10 years older than me. And I just say that because they didn't do what I did. They never went fishing with us. I don't even know if my brothers and sisters know how to fish. But when I was growing up, that was one of the perks of being the baby of the family. I guess I take the time, I had the time to go fishing with my grandma and granddad. I spent a lot of time with them. That was a perk of being the baby of the family. Also, at Christmas time, man, my mom loved Christmas. Favorite time of year. She wouldn't take no for an answer at Christmas time. She'd invite you over. You say, "Well, Mom, I think I'm gonna go to such and such house this year for Christmas Eve." She said, "Well, you better get your ass back here before midnight. You better get your ass back to the house before midnight, because you know everybody's going to be here tonight." So you're like, I'm not coming. Well, you don't have to come now, but you better be here before the night's over. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. So you had to be there. Okay? She had her kids there. She had her grandkids there. Those were my sisters that had kids. And again, at Christmas time, you know, me as a kid growing up time, I don't know about y'all, but of course I couldn't sleep. Wouldn't go to sleep. She had to force me to sleep. She had to force me to sleep. She's like, "Man, if you don't get in that bed, you know, if Santa Claus show up and you still up and you ain't in that bed, one thing he gonna do is spit some tobacco in your eye." I said, oh crap, spit tobacco in my eye? Ain't no way. And then she had, you know, she'd put out some cookies and a glass of milk, and she'd be like, "Don't touch this. This for Santa when he comes. He'll be hungry, and I got some cookies and some milk for him when he gets here." I'm telling you, she would go all out for Christmas. And I'm gonna do a show about her too. About my mom. My mom was a queen. She didn't play. But boy, she's so much fun. And so at Christmas time, when I go to sleep and I wake up in the morning, oh my God, I get up and go in there in the morning, and everybody be awake. Everybody sitting around. They looking and waiting for me to come out the back, come out of my room. And boy, the room was full of games and toys and bicycles and, I mean, everything. It's like when I think about it now, it's like, is all this mine? Is all of this mine? I'd be like, oh yeah, that's your bike. Those are your games. That's your race car set. You got clothes. I mean, everything. It was like she had lots of money. I'm like, where you get all this stuff from? And some of you guys aren't as old as I am, but back in the day, we had a Sears catalog. That Sears catalog might have been 300 pages thick when it came to the house. And oh boy, that Christmas catalog, the one that you were waiting for. And you got that Christmas catalog, you go through that thing, and she'd say, my mom would say, okay, well, go through there and pick out some stuff that you want, and I'll figure it out, and we'll see what Santa Claus will bring you. You talking about marking up a book. I wish I had one of those old Sears and Roebuck catalogs that they used to put out that I had gone through and marked up what I wanted for Christmas. I bet you it was $2,000 worth of stuff. I guarantee it was. And of course I didn't get everything, but I got enough to not know what I didn't get. Y'all with me? I got enough stuff to know what I didn't get. Call in 516-531-9483. Then I got to the point where, you know, my friends would come over. They'd come over and stay for hours. And we'd go from this thing to that thing to this thing to that thing to this thing to that thing. Then we'd be like, okay, let's go ride our bikes. You go outside and ride. Then you come back to the house and you start playing some more stuff, It was the bum. Me being the baby of the family had perks. And then when I got to high school, a friend of mine, you know, one of my best friends today, had a motorcycle. And every now and then, he'd come to my house, and I'd jump on the back with him. We'd ride motorcycle. And then I told my mom, I said, Mom, I want a motorcycle. She said, no, I ain't getting you no motorcycle. You can cancel that. I'm going to get a motorcycle. Not getting you a motorcycle. So I asked and asked. I told her, I said, I don't want anything else. I just want a motorcycle. You don't have to give me no clothes. I wear the clothes I got last year. You don't have to give me no clothes, no toys, nothing else. I just want a motorcycle. She's like, nah, I ain't getting you no motorcycle. Pick out some toys from the catalog. I'll get you that stuff. And I did. I would go through the catalog and pick out some stuff. But I still wanted a motorcycle. I talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. And then closer towards Christmas, she just popped up one day. She said, let's go to that Honda shop up on South Cobb Drive and look at some motorcycles. Like, what? Man, I was in the car before she got her shoes on. And we went up there, I'll never forget it, and walked into that Honda shop. And if you ever been into a motorcycle shop, you the smell that you smell when you walk in there is just, I don't know what you call it, unmatched. you smell the rubber from the tires and all this stuff. And oh, man, I see these big motorcycles. I see these smaller ones. I see this one, that one. And mine, that I, the one that I wanted was a Honda 200T. And it was the first year they had built the Honda 200. They used to have a 185. The first year they built the Honda 200. I had another friend that had a 185. I said, Mama, I want that 200. You sure? Yeah, I'm sure. I want that 200. He said, okay. And we left. And you know, I'm thinking all the way home, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get me a motorcycle for Christmas. So I told my friend, I said, man, I'm getting me a motorcycle for Christmas. Me and my mom went up to the Honda dealership today, and we picked one out. I'm going to get me a motorcycle. For real? Man, you can't even ride. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn how to ride, and you're going to teach me. So I had my friend teach me how to ride. And when I think it was maybe a week before Christmas, and my mom said, "Are you gonna drive this motorcycle back home? Do they need to bring it to us somehow?" I said, "Nah, I'm gonna get my friend, and he's gonna go with me, and we're gonna ride it back home." Okay. Okay. So we ride up there to the Honda dealership. They bring my motorcycle out. Man, you talking about heart sitting in my shoes. Woo! Heart sitting in my shoes. And it was clean. And then she bought me a helmet. He already had his helmet. He brought his helmet because he already ran. She bought me a helmet. So I had my helmet, he had his helmet, and he drove it home. I was on the back with him. And man, that thing was fast. And we rode from South Cobb Honda Shop all the way to my house in Dixie Hill behind the Douglas High School. And when I got home, I sat on it and I was like, man, I'm ready to ride. Mom was like, uh-uh. You're going to put that thing on the back porch, cover it up, and you can't ride it until Christmas. And you're talking about the hardest week of my life. That was the hardest week of my life, trying not to ride that motorcycle. Because if I tried to ride it, she would have busted me up. So I didn't try her, right? I didn't try her. And so again, that was the hardest week of my life. I'd get up sometimes at night and go out on the porch and sit on it. And I'd lean down. I'd be like, wah, wah, wah. I couldn't stand it. I'd get on it and turn the key and make the lights come on. Like, oh man, look at there. But I couldn't move it. Couldn't do anything because she'd know. But boy, when Christmas time came, I rode that thing out in the yard and I took off. Gone. That was a perk of being the baby of the family. And my brother had a mini bike. My mom bought him a mini bike when we were growing up. I never rode the mini bike, but of course he did. No one had a motorcycle. I got my first car right there, right out of high school, right after high school, I think I got my first car. And she helped me with it. But man, that was part of being the baby of the family. And it did have its perks. Now, guys, I'm gonna close out the show now. It's about time for me to close out. I thank you guys for tuning in. I thank you guys for listening to my show, to my part of my story. And again, I see a family member up on the show. I hope you guys are doing well. Say hello to the family. And also, listen in again when you see that I'm doing the show about maybe Big Mama or my mom. Tune in, listen in, even call in if you want to say something about them. And you know, I love you guys. Take care of yourselves. I'll see you in about 23 and a half hours, hopefully. I'll be back up on this thing. I'm trying to get to be a little consistent with what I'm doing so that you guys can listen on a consistent basis. So I'm going to try to get back again tomorrow and listen in to the show. Okay?
That's right.
Again, take care, guys. Love you. Be good.
Dogs in the house.
Have a great evening.
Let's get closer to the end, y'all. But we're going to kick it like this on the last album. Now let me holler at your partner, spit this game, bend your ear for a minute. Quit complaining about how you can't spin it, cause you ain't got it. You got what it takes, but not enough to get started. I hope you get the message, no it's not a test, it's just me riding the jet. They can't arrest me or bust me, I'm still hungry, I want some more stuff. Get fat and watch my whole crew blow up, so get yours and buy my new album. Keep the game and don't be like Calvin. Get everything you want, get real. Get your mail, get your girl to make bail, and get your ass out of jail. You should be getting it. Everything you want, everything you dreamed of. Never have to front. You should be getting it, getting money. I'm talking about you, black